It is finished. And I agreed how Elder Verhey said that. It wasn't a whisper. It was a forceful, clear voice with which Jesus must have spoken in the Greek one word in us three, but finished. And never did anyone speak those words like him. Children, I think you've used that word when your chores were finished. Finished. Especially if it was not such a nice chore. But for Jesus it was not that. For Jesus it was a victorious finish. There is a depth to these words that I could never really, and none of us could ever grasp. What was finished then? When he received that vinegar and said it is finished, then instantly undoubtedly bowed his head and gave up the ghost. There was no more reason to live longer. Finished. What was finished? Finished was his purchasing of the salvation he agreed to provide. Finished was the obedience to his Father's command. Love me above all. Love your neighbor as yourself. He finished doing that. Finished was the command of his Father. Bear the sin of my people. They become yours, and I want you to lay down your life in the most shameful and the most humiliating manner. Finished. He did it. Obedient unto the end. And these are the words that our Savior, no doubt, spoke with a holy joy. Father, finished. What thou gave me to do. And yet not all of Jesus' ministry is finished. Yes, the earning or the purchasing part of his work is finished. But he also has to yet gather and apply to those who are his, what he has purchased. That work isn't finished. And today, friends, I want to draw your attention to the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ on the basis of this finished. And I would invite you to turn to the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40. And we'll connect that to what we read in John 19. So Isaiah chapter 40. I will read these words as the application to the finished that was heard on Golgotha. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. If you have come here this morning, as the poet of old, say to my soul, I am thy salvation. And here's his answer. Comfort ye my people and cry unto her I have pardoned. I have paid. I have accomplished. If you come here this morning, make haste, O my God, to deliver my soul. And let us pray together that this morning the Holy Spirit enables you to be filled with joy and peace in the believing what our Holy Spirit is speaking. Thus saith the Lord. Notice, not thus said the Lord. This is in present tense. This is living word of God speaking to our souls this morning. And so let me ask your attention briefly for God's ministry of comfort. First, let's briefly look who are to take this comfort. And secondly, what is the comfort? So who are to take this comfort? As a servant of God, Isaiah is commissioned to proclaim this to who? Who? And so am I today proclaimed to who? Who is it? Well, our text is identifying my people, your God, Jerusalem, her. So there are some words in our text that indeed identifies who this comfort is for. And it is a joy for me today to stand, as it were, next to the cross that we just read of, John 19, and to picture before you, in your mind, the agonizing death of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in itself is really a horrific display, isn't it? And yet, Good Friday. And standing as it were next to this cross of Christ, I am to proclaim today the comfort of Good Friday. And friends, may God enable me to take your eyes away from yourself this morning and to direct you to Him who there suffered and died on the cross. Because that is, of course, as we will see in a moment, the sum and substance of this whole message. It is a task of the ministry, as Thomas Goodman says, to take, as it were, your hand and to lay it on the heart of Jesus to make you feel the heartbeats of His love. And speaking on that, perhaps this, I could put it this way, it's my task to take your eyes this morning and rivet them to the sight that the gospel authors is displaying for us. It is my task to take your ear and to let you hear what is it that God is saying to us this morning in this scripture. My people, Jerusalem, your God. No, congregation, you know that Isaiah is speaking this to the people that are deported out of Jerusalem to Babylon. And that can't be everybody in Babylon captivity for whom this word is meant. It can't be. Why can't be? Well, look at verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. They're not in Jerusalem. They're in Babylon. So it cannot be the people in Babylon that he's speaking this to. My people, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Most of the captive Jews in Babylon, they have lost their whole heart for God. They've gotten into idolatry in business and doing great. They're not even missing Jerusalem, as we'll see later on. Only a fraction of the Jews return back. So God is not speaking to all those Jews in Jerusalem, and neither is he speaking to all of church attenders today. Let's go a little deeper. Who then are these my people? There's a remnant among the Jews in Babylon. A remnant that loves the Lord. Undoubtedly children in Babylon that love Jehovah, that fear God, that want to please Him. Children that feel sad about who they are and about the sins they do. There are adults in Babylon that are captive not so much by Nebuchadnezzar. That's the least of their worry. There are people in Babylon who feel a different captivity. That bothers them more. The captivity of being in the hands of darkness. There are people in Babylon, and undoubtedly there are people here today who are not happy, who cannot find happiness while they are living separate from God. While they are not feeling and knowing that they are reconciled with God. Those are the ones that Isaiah is to preach to. Are you here this morning? Not anymore able to live with this breach between God and your soul, and your heart thirsts after God like the deer pants for the water. That remnant sitting there in Babylon are sighing over the sins that they have done that brought them there. And the sins of their fathers and their sins of their mothers and their own sins. And they feel indeed that this sin is causing their separation and their distance from God. And they maybe are working hard to be holy, but that doesn't solve the problem. I see these are the people that Isaiah is speaking on. That are trembling at the word of God. They are the ones that cannot stay from the word, and yet the word somehow condemns them. And yet they don't stay away from that word as they keep looking in it. These are the people that the Holy Spirit is addressing this morning with our text. Comfort ye, my people. They are the people that are like Isaiah 8 verse 7, described as this. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. They don't see him, but they wait. They longingly look. They cry as the watches in the night cry and wait for the light to come. They are like those in the end of the chapter of our chapter 40, when it says, they that wait on the Lord. They are the ones like Peter, who say, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Now, are you one of those who fear God, who love the Lord, who want to serve Him, but walk in darkness? Are you one of those who want to honor His will, but fail daily? Or one of those, as McCain wrote, when legal fears shook me, I tremble to die. No refuge, no safety in self I could see. Jesus, the righteous, my Savior must be. Are you one of those? Then I have a message for you. As you behold Christ on the cross, as you behold this body stretched on the cross, and you hear out of His mouth this morning, finished. Not just for Him, but for you. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord, and speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry it out to her. I'm commanded this morning, and bless God for that command, to preach to you comfort, and pray that you may experience this morning what McChain wrote in that next song. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain. Life-giving and free, Jesus the righteous is all things to me. Let's sing Psalter 170 verse 1 as we stand together. 170 verse 1. And we'll do that standing. Praise waits thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pray their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. So 170, sing verse 1 together as we stand. What is the comfort that the Holy Spirit here speaks about? And notice the stress, the great stress the Holy Spirit places on this message. Comfort ye, comfort ye. The repeat of that is a Hebrew way of big emphasis. Let it ring, comfort ye. And then in the third time it says, and speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. And the word in the Hebrew means speak ye to the heart. Speak to their heart that are tossed to and fro with all their sorrows and all their fears. And thirdly, notice I need to cry it. There's an urgency. I must not whisper this. I must make sure that you feel this morning, this is a sure and hopeful message that is certain. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. What a lovely task, congregation, to comfort you. And to comfort you. And what real comfort is not what you feel in your heart. Comfort is not what you have felt, or what you must feel, or what you do feel. That's little comfort. You know that. Today you have a feeling and tomorrow you have none. That's no comfort. That's a floating up and down on the waves of feelings. Comfort is something solid. Come forte. Forte is power. Come is together. So there is something together that provides me with some stability, with some foundation. And indeed, comfort is piloi, finished. That word spoken there at the end of the 6 hours of the suffering death of our Lord Jesus, that is the comfort. That truth is the comfort that we are to speak about. And notice, this comfort is not a kind wish, like, I hope you feel better. That's no comfort. That's a wish. We don't comfort anybody when we say, you will get better. That's an empty promise. That's no comfort. Comfort is not even a very beautiful and sincere prayer. Well, I will pray that you may get better. That's also no comfort. Comfort is leading your feet to stand on the rock of ages cleft for me. And if by faith then on that rock of the cleft, Jesus, that's comfort. Even that is so beautifully explained in that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's no comfort. Sweet frames. It's beautiful. It's lovely. And we may pray for that. And our hearts are overwhelmed and reap with joy and sorrow mingled together for what we did and for what He did. But the comfort is, it is finished. The work of Christ. He just didn't finish His work, congregation. My people, He didn't just finish His work. He finished His work for you. Don't forget to add that. Comfort ye my people and say to their heart, your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. You have received double for all your sins. Finished is not just for Him, though it was for Him, but finished was for my people. It was for those that stood at the cross like Mary Magdalene, looking with agony at the dying of her master. Mary, looking with broken heart, ripped apart, looking upon her son. It's there for John, who is just perhaps also very much in the dark still and struggling to understand. It is finished. For those who call upon Him like the publican. It is finished for those who wept like Peter and look to Him like Peter. It is finished for such this morning. This message is personal. comfort ye, my people, saith your God to you. I have finished all I needed to do to merit your salvation. Even though you're stuck in Babylon, in my sight, you are Jerusalem. You are my people. Even if you still live in Babylonian captivity, far away from the ruined city, you are my Jerusalem. You see, that remnant here among us this morning that fear the Lord, that love Him, that look to Him, that sigh and cry over their sins as they stand and bow before God with the prayer of the publican, "Oh God, be merciful to me." Be comforted. Your sin is pardoned. Your warfare is accomplished. Let's unpack that "finished" of Jesus. You notice that word "finished" is the warfare is accomplished. The warfare is ended. The warfare is completed. That must refer to that beginning of Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." As a warfare that Jesus fought, didn't he? He fought against the devil. He fought against sin. He fought against the adversary. And Jesus came to do the warfare on our behalf. My people, He did it on our behalf. I know you're trying to fight. I know you're trying to fight, God says. I see you trying to fight against the sin in your heart. I know you're trying to live right. I know you're trying to fight Satan and temptation. I know, and you fail every day. But listen now, the warfare is accomplished. It's finished. I've done it for you. Though you are daily defeated, the warfare is finished. And you will be more than conquerors through me, Jesus says. That warfare is accomplished. Jesus faced the battle for you. Jesus faced it hardest when He was cursed there on the cross. And all of hell broke loose, trying to dislodge Him from His obedience. One more time. And you can read it in Psalm 22. And all of them stand around Him, taunting Him. "Look at you now. Where did you end up when you trusted God? Come now down this cross and let us see." Tempting Him, taunting Him. He didn't fall. He didn't fail any temptation in the warfare. And maybe you walked in here this morning, defeated again, fallen in your temptation. My people, the warfare is accomplished. It's finished. It's done. And though we remain prone to halt and stumble, and though often shame and guilt may again oppress your heart, notice the warfare is accomplished. He made it right. He did it right. And the second statement that unpacks Jesus' finished is that her iniquity is pardoned. The iniquity is pardoned. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist began preaching Him like that. And here we see the Lamb of God led to the slaughter, laying down His life. Why? He took your place, my sinful, transgressing people. Is there ever a day you don't break God's law? No. Isn't that what you feel indeed time and again, that you don't love God as you should and you don't love your neighbor as you should? You may do all kinds of things right, but inside of it is not right. It may look all fine and beautiful on the outside, but the inside is not, and you know that. But listen, finished. I paid every one of your sins. I have atoned for your guilt. I've been made sin, your sin that was. I was made your sin. And all the sins that you've done from Adam's sin until today, and even the future sins that we may still fall into. Finished. What a glory. Comfort ye my people and speak to their heart and cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. Will you not believe it, children of God? Not on the basis of what you feel about your sin. Oh no, on the basis of what God says here to you. I have pardoned and I have paid. Your iniquity is pardoned. It is washed away in Christ's blood. Maybe tossed. Maybe you say, I don't dare to believe it. No, I understand that. But then answer him, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's the way to answer him. Not to say, no, I don't believe that. No. If you're one of his people, if you're one of those God-fearers, children, if you're one of those that love the Lord, if you're one of those that mourn over your sin, if you're one of those that look into Jesus Christ, I may say to you, child, this morning, your sins are pardoned. And your iniquity is put away. Because He took the sins of childhood, middle age, adult life, all of them, of all His people. And if you're one of His people, then the Spirit saith unto you this morning, your iniquity is pardoned. Are you like the poet that says, look on my afflicted state, freely all my sins forgive. For thy name's sake, Lord, hear me. For thy mercy, Lord, I wait. Pardon mine iniquity, for my sin is very great. And if you are one like that, who lays at the feet of Jesus weeping, as that woman, and as Christ said to her, woman, thy sins are forgiven thee. So the Spirit says to you this morning, comfort ye, my people, and speak unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. Let's sing together 170 verse 3. And we'll do that again as we stand. The third verse of 170. O God of our salvation, since Thou dost love the right, Thou wilt an answer send us. Then what follows in verse 3 of 170. comfort ye my people. Not only is the warfare accomplished, not only is the iniquity pardoned, people of God, but there's a third thing that the word finished meant. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's a Hebrew expression for abundance. Finished. She has received abundant. More. And more. Under the Jewish law, when you stole something, you didn't only have to give back what you stole. You have to give more back, called restitution. Not only that what you stole, but you gave that what you stole plus a restitution. We face a problem, don't we? We cannot pay him back what we ought to pay him back. We cannot give him restitution either for the dishonor that we've done to God. But listen, he gave a double portion. He gave more than we need. Abundant. Is that what the poet sings about in Psalm 130? There is plenteous redemption. The word in the Hebrew means a fountain that is always flowing. There is a fountain always flowing with redemption. So abundant. So rich is the finished of Christ, because he went up to heaven and he's there in the labor of that finished, executing his finishing work. What a massive comfort. God abundantly satisfied in Christ all the demands of the law and much more. Much more. Never will there be a lack. Repeated pardons with him are available. Repeated. And children of God, therefore, as you keep stumbling, and as you through weakness fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. But remember, you have received double. Go back to him. With those hands that are soiled, those thoughts that are soiled, those feet that are soiled, and live out of that finished. That is abundant. Abundant. If any man sin, let him return to God, for there is at the right hand of God Jesus Christ the righteous, who maketh intercession for sinners, his people. What a comfort. It is finished. And this morning the Spirit says it to our heart. Warfare accomplished. Your warfare. Your iniquity pardoned. And you have received of the Lord double for all her sins. It is hard to believe. Jerusalem. That was the word in our text. There is no city. There is no city in the world that has so deeply fallen from the blessings they were given. No city has witnessed what this Jerusalem has witnessed. Yeah, and so it is a fitting picture for the people of God, isn't it? Because when we begin to get a little insight in our own hearts, we will no more cast stones at those who said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And if you still feel ready to stone those, then you have gotten little insight in who you are. We are no better, perhaps, may I say, a little, no, a lot more worse than they. For they didn't know what you and I know. When they cried, "Crucify him," Peter says later, "You did it ignorantly." It was finished for Jesus that day. And as I said, his finishing work of applying his work is not finished. Besides being a comforter this morning, I'm also a fisher yet. A fisher of your soul. Do you know this comfort? Those of you who do not feel themselves described and addressed when I try to explain a little who those people are. And if you now say, "Oh, that's not what I am, really." Two of them that were hanging next to Jesus also finished that day. They finished their day also. No, they finished their life. Both had failed miserably. Otherwise you don't end up on a cross. Both finished their life as a cursed one on the cross. Both came to Golgotha, lost, guilty, doomed, shut out of God. Yet powerfully, God the Father drew one to his Son Jesus Christ with one of the most simple prayers in the Bible. As he took ownership of his own wrong, as he's hanging on this cursed cross, we justly, he turned his head slightly and asked him, "Remember me when thou hast come into thy kingdom." What a simple prayer. And what yet a beautiful prayer. Is that how you sit here in that frame of heart this morning, Grant? Are you sitting here saying, "Oh Lord, remember me with that grace thou show to him"? Now if such is truly your prayer, and if such is through your longing, and if Jesus is truly the one you turn your head to when you ask that prayer, then let me comfort you, as Jesus did to that one today, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's nothing else than saying, "I comfort you. Your warfare is accomplished. Your sin is pardoned. And you have received double for all your wrong in your life." Amen. Beloved Lord, thank thee for this so beautiful, comforting message to thy people. Lord, we trust that thou wilt bring it where thou brought it when Isaiah first preached it, and as it has been preached upon ever since, and will be until the end of time. Will thou wing these words today, O Holy Lord, into the heart of all thy people, here, that we may truly rejoice and worship Thee in this Good Friday. And dear Lord, that we may indeed experience the comfort of it, that it is finished, and by faith may live our lives, built not on our own sweetest frames of heart, but on the rock of ages cleft for me. And Lord, if there are those this morning here who, as that thief on the cross, feel indeed the justice of their exclusion from Thee, banished and separated, but yet, O God, can no longer live with that, looking to Thee as He did. Oh, bring also the comfort to their hearts. And arrest, Lord, all those of us who live on in sin and idolatry and embracing the darkness of our life, chasing for some light in the darkness. Turn us, O Lord, turn us today and draw our hearts as Thou drew that thief on the cross and many others to Thyself. Thank Thee once again for this great sacrifice. O blessed Lord, how shall we render thanks to Thee for this great, it is finished. Pray Thy blessing also on the short meeting we will have after this service, Lord, with the men and brethren. We ask Thy blessing upon the voting we will do for an elder position. Guide us in that. And will Thou serve, O God, our church, also by providing for us men to lead, men to guide us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.